the form of the covenant is between God and Christ as the last Adam, and God and the spiritual seed of Christ. Right? Remember, if you have this, you have all of those that he represents in covenant with him. It is a mutual stipulation. What does that mean?
Conditions.
Mutual.
They both agree.
So, God says this, and then Christ re-stipulates. Remember we talked about that? But at the same time, then, like if this was an outline, the elect re-stipulate, and even under that, the visible church re-stipulates. What does that mean? Do you have an example of God stipulating something and the elect re-stipulating it?
Mount Sinai.
Mount Sinai, that would be good. Yep. In essence, what's the re-stipulation? What do they say?
That they'll covenant with God and do what he says.
That they'll covenant and do what he says. The reciprocal engagement, whether explicit or implicit, is necessary for it to be truly called a covenant. Outwardly, the covenant was revealed progressively. What does that mean?
A veil pulled slowly.
Veil pulled slowly? What were you going to say?
Abraham didn't have the temple service, the tabernacle, so Moses did, and then eventually, so it was like
Revelation.
Hundreds of years.
Okay, so what aspect of the covenant is progressive?
Knowledge of it.
Outward.
Yes? Outward. Okay, so first glimpsed in Genesis, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. A initial promise. A dawn-like promise. What day is it? It's the day of redemption. It's the dawn of the day of redemption. Here's the day. It's the dawn, right? When we're here, is it still the same day? When we're here, is it still the same day? How about here, though? It's the same day. Just different aspects of things. Why is that important? Why is it important that it is the same day, though different periods in the day?
It doesn't change.
Okay.
One.
Right. Give me some verse that may. Go ahead.
It was a micro Malachi. I'm the Lord. I change not.
Okay, so he doesn't change. It's the same all the time. He's the same. His covenant's the same, right? Did Adam get to heaven? Did Noah get to heaven? How do we know?
Because it's the same covenant.
Same covenant. How do we know they went to heaven?
Because God said so.
God said so. Where did he say so?
He wrapped Adam and Eve in the slain animal.
Okay.
And that was a sign of being wrapped in Christ and then uncovering their sin.
Right, so pictures of whatever, right? The skins. What else?
The ark.
The ark. What else?
Temple service.
Temple service. You mentioned it before, right? Shadows and types. What are they shadows and types of?
Christ's work.
Christ's work. So they're shadows and types of the form of the covenant. Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Is Abraham in heaven?
Yes.
Is he born again?
Yes. Has to be.
Yes. Same day, different periods in the day. To Noah, it's explicitly called a covenant in Genesis 6, 18 and 9, 9 to 17. To Abraham, with a lot of rich covenantal promises. It's talked about in Genesis 17, 7 to 8. At Sinai, with all of its various shadows and types, or we would say typological ceremonies, typical mediators. You can look from Exodus 19 all the way to through to 24, and it's just all of that. To David, 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 16, confirmed by an oath, Psalm 89, 3 and 4, all the way to the Babylonian exiles, promising full restoration in Ezekiel 36 and 37. And then in the new covenant, right? Now we said this is one day, right? So when we think about this word, it's a word that throws people off, right? Why does it throw people off? Okay, so they make new to mean separate, totally different, right? That was then, this is new. When the Bible uses it, how does the Bible use it?
Refresh.
Okay, can you give me an example?
What do you mean?
Shadows fulfilled.
One more time. Yeah, what would be a good verse?
New
mercy.
Mercy.
No. Okay, mercy. Okay, so think that through. Right? So Lamentations says that his mercies are new every morning, right? So his mercies get old, and whatever mercy he gave you yesterday is out.
Yeah, it goes stale.
It goes stale, it fades away, it dissolves. Okay. You go out in the rain, it's like the Wicked Witch of the West. It melts and it goes away, it goes bye-bye, right? No. So how are his mercies new every morning?
Outward refreshed.
Yes. It's, and from whose perspective is this?
Ours.
From ours, right? Because we already know that the Lord doesn't change, yet his mercies are new. From our perspective, they're new. They're eternal. There are various administrations of this form. Before Christ, shadows and types. Since Christ, we have clear spiritual ordinances. Do we have any that are not spiritual? Or how about we say it this way? The ceremonies in the Old Testament, were they spiritual?
No, they were both.
They were both. So the Lord's Supper, is that both?
Yes.
So how are they clear spiritual ordinances now? From whose perspective? From ours. Why are they clear now? Clearer.
Because Jesus came already.
Okay, so it goes back to promise and performance, right? Promises all through the Old Testament of that which is to come. The performance of that which is to come is Jesus. Either we just do this. Either you're looking forward to it or you're looking backwards to it. And it's always the same thing. The covenant is also a testament. Hebrews 9, 15 to 17, like a human will. Who is the surety of the New Testament?
Jesus.
Who is the surety, the mediator of the Old Covenant?
Jesus.
Yes, but there was an intermediary because he had not yet performed anything. So Moses, right? So part of the newness is that you have the illustration of a will that's going to be given to some person. And in the Old Testament, the person that is the mediator at that time is this very old man. And he's witness to it, but he doesn't have the strength and vigor to put the testament into action. But in the New Testament, you have the young heir who then takes over the will. And he has the ability to put everything or perform everything that's needed in that particular way. So Christ is the testator and the surety of it. The elect are also his co-heirs. The gospel is a written testament, and it's sealed by Christ's death and confirmed in the sacraments. Though effectual only to the elect, the covenant is broadly offered to two groups. What are the two groups?
Can you say that again, Pastor?
There are two groups that the covenant is offered to.
Jews and Gentiles.
The visible church and the invisible church. Two groups. To the visible church, even to the Gentiles. Also, the invisible church. This gathers both the elect and also leaves believers without excuse. It's tendered in that way. What is the intention of God behind offering the covenant to the visible and invisible church?
Draw on his elect.
Draw on his elect.
Leave the wicked without excuse.
Leave the wicked without excuse. Intention. Visible advantages are a holy calling and profession, a visible membership for themselves and their children in participation in the means of grace. If the Spirit does not make those things effectual, what does that do to them?
More judgment.
More judgment. Right? In that way, and in thinking about the form of the covenant of faith is a profound supernatural mystery. No one's going to figure this out on their own. In other words, what do they need to figure this out?
Spirit. Regeneration.
More broadly.
Christ himself.
More broadly even than that. Let's say.
Revelation.
Revelation, what do you mean?
The Word of God.
The Word.
Jessica said.
Right? Oh, did you? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Okay, so. You got to have special revelation. Natural revelation isn't going to do it. True or false? Natural revelation shows that there's a God.
True.
True. True or false? Natural revelation shows that there is a triune God.
False.
Yes,
false.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't get Father, Son, and Spirit. What about Father, Father, Mother, Mother, Son, Son, Spirit, Spirit, Spirit? You can't get that. It could be that. You have to have special revelation in order to direct you specifically as to these particular ideas. So being a mystery, it's a sacred secret hidden from natural understanding because it reveals the way of salvation by Christ. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me to make known the mystery of the gospel, Ephesians 6:19. You, the person in office of Christ. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. Or the church's union with Christ and what that means. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, Ephesians 5:32. Or the expansion of the way that the mystery is understood not only for Jews but also Gentiles. So the inclusion of the Gentiles, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, Ephesians 3:6. Or gathering in of all things, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, Ephesians 1:9. Or even the ordinances are called the mysteries of God, 1 Corinthians 4:1. Or the final glorification of believers. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, 1 Corinthians 15:51. It is a deep mystery, a great deep of divine grace and justice, that Christ's elect, just as fallen as the rest, are restored while others are passed over. Why?
Covenant.
But why are the elect restored and others passed over?
Because it's a good pleasure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a mystery. That's why. There's the only bit of information that you have as to the, like the side edge of the why, if you were trying to grasp onto it, is in Romans 9 when he says he wants to make known his glory to those that are saved by doing these things to those who are not. And you go, that's about as close as I get. Which is why Paul goes, who can... it's unsearchable. Who can think about these things? What's the breadth of these things? It's impossible. That he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, 2 Corinthians 5:21. That death is defeated by death, that's weird, sin by sin, and law by law in Christ. All of that's weird. Mystery. Luther wrote, Christ became our law, sin, and death to destroy each for us. It is a supernatural mystery, inconceivable to nature. No human being could ever have imagined a recovery by substitution or a covenant rooted in grace, not merit. Merit is the religion of the natural man. But we speak of wisdom, the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. 1 Corinthians 2:7. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:9 and 10. So that we may be able to comprehend with all saints the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Ephesians 3:18 to 19. Too high, too lofty for us to understand. But this is the form of the covenant in the day. Old Testament, New Testament, shadows and types, promise, what Christ has done, performance. Okay, so far? We'll pause there.